Even despite the snowy weather, you could have rolled over and just turned over your alarm clock, but no, you decided to come here and to hear from God, to praise Him, to pray to Him. So thank you for being here. Thank you for the opportunity, for allowing me to preach this morning. If you're visiting, my name's Bryden Barker. I'm very thankful to be able to have the opportunity to preach this morning's message, and I'm thankful to be here. This past week, I was out at Fairhaven in Chesterton, Indiana, and it was very cold. And the morning yesterday, I left yesterday morning, and it was snowing about a foot. And the guy who was driving me to the airport, I kept asking him, "Do we need to leave earlier? Do we need to leave earlier? You know, it's snowing a lot." And he said, "Oh no, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it." And you know, the time came to leave, and we got in the car. We were fishtailing down the road, but then as soon as we got on the highway, it was perfectly clear. They got it down out there in Indiana and Illinois. So praise God that I was able to get home safely, and praises to Him for protecting us on the drive there. So for this morning's message, we're going to flip to Exodus 35. If you flip to Exodus 35, James and I were joking this morning about how this is such a familiar topic for everyone. Exodus 35, everybody loves Exodus 35. But in the Old Testament, there's a lot of good teaching for us and lessons that we can learn. At this point in Exodus 35, the Israelites have been in the wilderness for close to 2 years now. Moses has gathered the Israelites together to preach unto them. And when we hop into chapter 35, we see Moses delivering instruction for the Israelites to build the tabernacle. The tabernacle being a structured tent, a rectangular structured tent that the Israelites built with a courtyard and then walls surrounding for the purpose of carrying out the commands of the law. So in Exodus 35, we're going to read verses 1 through 6 and then 20 through 22. "And Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together and said unto them, These are the words which the Lord hath commanded, that ye should do them. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day there shall be to you an holy day, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whosoever doeth work therein shall be put to death. Ye shall kindle no fire throughout your habitations upon the Sabbath day. And Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, This is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass and blue and purple." And as we go through the rest of those verses there, we have a list of items for the offering, as well as the jobs that are needed to be done for the tabernacle. And then in 19, we see other items needed for the clothing of the priest under the Levitical priesthood. So in verse 20, if we jump down to verse 20, "And all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses, and they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service, and for the holy garments. And they both came, men and women, as many as were willing-hearted, and brought bracelets, and earrings, and rings, and tablets, all jewels of gold, and every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord." Let us pray. Father, I pray, Lord, that you go before this service, Lord. I pray that you go before the preaching. Please, God, please bless the sermon, Lord. We know that if your Holy Spirit does not go before us, God, that that the words will just fall on the floor, God. So I pray that you would bless the service, Lord. I pray that you would bless the preaching, bless your word. And Lord, I pray that you can use me to both be a comfort, Lord, and also a challenge. And that the people of God, Lord, this morning, us brothers and sisters this morning, can be encouraged and strengthened by your word. I pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we see here in the 35th chapter of the book of Exodus that Moses has preached the word of God to the Israelites. These Israelites, as mentioned prior, they've been out of the nation of Egypt for close to 2 years now. The Jews arrived at Mount Sinai when we get here to Exodus 35, and Moses has already gone up several times to the mount to hear from the Lord, to receive instruction such as the Ten Commandments and other specifics about the law and Levitical priesthood. And at this point in Exodus 35, Moses has the second set of the law written in stone after he broke the first when he came down from the mount, and so quickly the Israelites resorted back to pagan worship. and making the golden calf. And that wasn't without consequence. If you read, I believe it's Exodus 32, Moses asked for those who were on the Lord's side to come and stand with him. And those who stood up for the Lord were the Levites. And the Bible says that the Levites slayed about 3,000 men in one day in consequence for disobeying the Lord and resorting back to pagan worship. So Moses has the law again, received from the Lord God on top of Mount Sinai, and he calls the Israelites together to preach unto them. And unlike the other time, the Israelites, they don't run away, they don't resort back into pagan worship, they don't turn away from the God of Israel, but this time the Bible says they have a stirred up heart. And I want to preach to you this morning about a stirred up heart, because there are many Christians today who are suffering from a cold heart, a heart that doesn't move for the Lord. The things of God have become dead to them, numb, idle in work for the Lord. There are many Christians today who do nothing but worship the golden calves in their lives, and therefore are unable to serve the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So what stirs the heart? What stirs the heart of those that belong to God Almighty? One verse 35:1, we see that it wasn't a trend that stirred the Israelites' heart. It wasn't some new way of doing things. Moses didn't make the things of God some kind of game or some kind of enticement to the flesh. No, we see that those Israelites, the people of God, got a stirred up heart from the Word of God. God's Word is all powerful. It's alive. The Holy Spirit can take it and apply it to our hearts. And we see in Exodus 35, their hearts were stirred by the Word of God and nothing else. That Moses didn't add on to it. He didn't change it. And if the Word of God is of what will stir your heart, Christian, it's important for us to pick it up. It's important for us to read it. If the Word of God is what will get you up and moving for your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, it's to be read daily. Don't let your Bible collect dust. And not only do we see the Israelites stirred by the Word of God, but also the preaching of God's Word. And as mentioned, Moses, he didn't change anything. He didn't add anything. He didn't say, God, it doesn't make sense to me why you want four roofs of the tabernacle. No, he did exactly and preached exactly what God commanded. And to think that you need to add on to, evolve, change the Word of God, somehow connect it with some sort of human philosophy in order to make it interesting, means that you have someone preaching that does not believe in the power of the Word of God. If you're a believer of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have God's Holy Spirit within you. The Word of God is sufficient to stir your heart. Lord Jesus Christ said alone in Matthew 4:4, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So now we see something else that is important about a stirred up heart. You cannot expect to live your life as your own, satisfying your flesh, doing whatever concerns you, not what concerns God, and still expect to have a stirred up heart. In Exodus 35, verse 5, 21, and 22, we see an important factor about a stirred up heart. We see that it was those that were willing to hear from God, those that were willing to hear from him and willing to serve him, they got the stirred up heart. The start of having your heart stirred up for God, the start of having your heart on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ, the start of taking a stand and declaring that the Lord Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, the life, and the Savior of my soul is willingness. You have to want to serve the Lord. You have to make yourself available. And the question might be, well, how do I make myself available? Well, the thing is, many of us know that prayer. It's just a matter if we're willing to pray it. Prayer along the lines of, Lord, whatever you will have me to do, I will do it. That's being willing. And as we read in Exodus 35, the Bible says that those that were willing got a stirred up heart. And those Israelites, as mentioned earlier, as a nation, they just got done worshiping an idol. And if those Israelites here in 35 weren't a part of that, they've been complaining against God the entire time they've been in the wilderness. But yet, they got a stirred up heart. Do you know what that shows? Those Israelites repented. How many times in our lives do we have to pray to God and say, God, I know I didn't just act like it. God, I know I didn't just say like it. But God, I desire to serve you. God, I desire to worship you. Please stir my heart. Please give me the strength. Please give me the courage. Please give me the wisdom to serve you and you alone. And God will stir your heart if you're willing to let Him. If you're willing to let Him stir your heart and not be afraid of where that stirred up heart will take you. Sometimes it'll be out of your comfort zone. Usually it is. If you're willing to let that stirred up heart take action in your life and eliminate the sin and nonsense that is only distracting you, that is only keeping you back, that just keeps entangling you in sin and keeping you immobile for the Lord Jesus Christ. See, it's one thing. I understand, brothers and sisters, that we're in a spiritual battle. I understand that the devil lays traps for us. But when we purposely ignore the convictions, when we purposely ignore what God is pointing out to us and leave those things in our life that causes us to sin, it's not Satan laying the trap for you. You're laying the trap for yourself. You're entangling yourself. The fact that verse 21 says only those who are willing were stirred in the heart means that there were some Israelites who weren't willing. They didn't want to commit to the Lord. They didn't want to serve the God that delivered them. They were ungrateful. And one of the things that will absolutely destroy a Christian, absolutely knock them out of serving the Lord Jesus Christ, is ungratefulness. An ungrateful Christian will come across a trial in their life and say, Lord, I'm trying to serve you. Lord, I'm trying to deny what I want to do and do what you want to do, and you let this happen to me. Lord, I'm not going to serve you anymore because you let that happen to me. You know what you call that person? Ungrateful. Maybe God calls you to a specific role in the body of Christ, and you look around and say, God, you've called me to this, but they get to do that. God, they get blessed here and I don't. God, they get this and I don't. God, that's not fair. I'm not going to serve you. That'll stop your heart from being stirred up. Is ungratefulness. Forgetting that you're a saved sinner. A sinner that should go to hell, but is saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. But you end up sitting and complaining. You know, how often do we read through the Old Testament and make the observation of how could those Israelites complain? They just walked through the Red Sea. God has been feeding them from manna from heaven. How are they complaining? And that's a correct observation. But how can we complain, Christian, when we've been delivered from something so much greater? Not Egypt, but the wrath of God, the pit of hell. Jesus has delivered us from our own sin. How much greater is that? And how much more should we not ever complain? So don't be ungrateful. Remember always where the Lord brought you from, and God will stir your heart, and you'll have no problem serving the Lord whatever He asks of you. It's amazing how just instead of focusing on what you don't have and focusing on what God has blessed you with, how much that changes your heart. How much that makes you willing to serve Him when you count the blessings you have instead of envying or being jealous or coveting what other people do have. Just that one switch can change everything. So we see that Israelites that were willing, we see that Israelites who wanted to serve God, we see the Israelites who desired to serve God, got a stirred up heart. So what did these Israelites do now that they have a stirred up heart? Well, the first thing to notice is they don't extinguish the stirred up heart. We see, as you read through the rest of Exodus, that the Israelites, they finished the job, and they finished well. They build the tabernacle exactly as the Lord God commanded. They didn't quench their stirred up heart. They didn't go home and say, wow, Moses really preached. But maybe we'll get to that in a week. Or maybe, hey, do you want to go out one more time? Just before we start building this tabernacle, just one more time. They didn't do that. They went home and got right to work. They got right to serving God. They didn't extinguish their stirred up heart with the ways of sin. And how many times do we wait to serve God? How many times do we tell Him, hold on, Lord, I know you want me to do this, but I've already got this going on. I'm already busy with this. God, I will get to it, God, just not right now. Another thing about us believers today is that we can have a stirred up heart. We can hear the preaching of the word. We can have our heart stirred up by reading and praying and praising God. But then we get home, sit on the couch, turn on the TV, scroll on your phone, and that fire that was started Sunday morning is put out. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, quench not the Spirit. God could be working in your heart. He could be making things happen. He could be stirring your heart. And then you go home, you forget what you just heard, you forget the praises you were just singing, and quench the Spirit. If you do that, you will not finish the job. How many times, Christians, have you said, Lord, I know, but just one more time. And for whatever reason, we take for granted, we're ungrateful for that stirred up heart. And therefore, because we decide to continue in the ways of our own sin or the ways of our own desires, that stirred up heart, you end up muffling, you end up quenching, you end up extinguishing. The Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That's Proverbs 4:23. So keep your heart with all diligence. How do you do that? Well, what is coming into your heart? Are you aware of what you take in? Because it goes into your heart. What are your eyes seeing and ears hearing? Is it the things of God or the pollution of this world? Don't quench the Spirit. Don't take that stirred up heart for granted. If you're going to have a stirred up heart for God, you're going to have to be willing to hear from Him, to listen to Him, to take action, to cut sin out of your life. So is there something in your life right now that is quenching the Spirit? We see then that these Israelites, they don't quench their stirred up hearts. They don't run away from God. They don't run away from what God is doing in their souls, but that they begin to serve the Lord and make offerings. In verses 21 through 22, we see that those who had a willing heart, a stirred up heart, brought offerings to the Lord. They made a personal sacrifice to give what they had, what they owned, for the Lord's purpose, for the Lord's use. And we as Christians, we're not exempt from this. This isn't just an Old Testament teaching. We're to offer sacrifices to the Lord as well. Now, if we were to offer burnt offerings and peace offerings and sin offerings, yes, that would be blasphemous, because the Lord Jesus Christ has gone to the cross. His blood has been shed. The one sacrifice of the Lamb of God has been made. But as believers, we're to offer spiritual sacrifices. In 1 Peter 2:5, we read, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood. And that means we are priests, believer priests ourselves. And we are to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. We are to offer up spiritual sacrifices to the Lord God. But what are those spiritual sacrifices? Romans 12:1, we read, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Our offering to God is ourselves. It's our lives. Living holy, separate unto God, offerings of prayers and praises to God alongside our service to Him done in faith. And that's quite a sacrifice when it's hard to praise Him, right? When it's hard to pray to Him, when maybe life's not going so easy. Well, how much of a greater sacrifice this is, a spiritual sacrifice, to still say, God, I know it's hard when I'm going through. God, I know it's dark when I'm going through. But God, I will still praise your name for saving my soul and being my deliverer. If you are to be a living sacrifice to God, as Pastor James once said, don't crawl off the altar. We also see that the Israelites, whose heart is stirred up for God, that they get wisdom from God to do what needs to be done. Just one chapter over in Exodus 36, we read, then wrought Bezalel and Oholiab and every wise-hearted man in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary, according to all that the Lord had commanded. And Moses called Bezalel and Oholiab, and every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, even everyone whose heart stirred him up to come onto the work to do it. And they received of Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary, to make it withal, and they brought yet unto him free offerings every morning. That last verse is a sermon in of itself about daily devotions, but that's another time. The task of building the tabernacle in service to the Lord God was daunting. It was challenging. It was something that had to be done exactly as God commanded. But yet, despite such the challenge to do something as perfect as God commands, we see that the Lord will provide wisdom for those doing His work. In Proverbs 2, verse 1 through 6, we read, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom, and applying thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." In Exodus 35 and 36, God gives men and wisdom and woman wisdom to serve him. And that's something that's so comforting to know, that God doesn't leave you to your own devices. He doesn't give you a task to do and just says, good luck. No, God is with you every step of the way, every step of your life. And if you seek wisdom, you seek wisdom from him, you read his word and search him and search his word, he will give you the wisdom to do what needs to be done. Some of you maybe have gotten a calling on your life, a burden on your heart to do something for the Lord. And I can't tell you what that is. No man can tell you what your calling is. That's between you and God alone. But maybe you have that burden, you have that calling, but yet you don't go and do it because you don't think you have the wisdom to do it. Well, the truth is, on your own, you don't. We don't have wisdom of our own, but God will give it. God may have asked you to do something that you've never done before in your life, something you're not comfortable doing, but yet God will give you the wisdom. Seek God's wisdom first. For serving the Lord, brothers and sisters, we cannot fail to recognize that. When we begin to ignore our dependence on God, begin to ignore the need of God, begin to ignore His wisdom, we begin to operate in the flesh. And as a result, the doctrines which we were once brought up in, the commandments of the scriptures we were once brought up in, are destroyed and thrown away for something that attracts the flesh. If those Israelites did not act in the wisdom of God, if they did not depend on the wisdom of God, the task they were charged with of building the tabernacle would have ended up pagan. It would have looked like the rest of the world and not separate, not holy unto God. So we can see the utmost importance of having a stirred up heart within the bounds of Scripture, the bounds of God's word and commands. We saw that it was God's word that stirred up their hearts. And once their heart is stirred up, the Israelites keep it within the instruction of God's word. And that's crucially important to remember. You know, the era we live in right now only talks about following your heart. Follow your heart. Do what your heart desires. Just what's true to you is true to you. Well, the Bible says in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Yes, absolutely. Your heart can be stirred for God. Your heart can be on fire for God. Your heart can shout praises to God Almighty. But that same heart is where those wicked thoughts come from. The same heart where that hunger for sin comes from. That heart at one moment can be in submission to God and His word, and at the other moment, desperate and hungering for sin and wickedness. So we must not forget what these Israelites did. We must not forget what other men of God did throughout the Bible, is use that stirred up heart and keep it within the submission and obedience of God's word. If we have a stirred up heart and do not follow the commands of Scripture, but rather just go along with how our heart feels, already you're in sin. And it won't take much longer before what you are charged to do, the task that you were given to do, ends up looking completely different than what God commanded, what God intended. Living in obedience and submission to the word of God is absolutely necessary to serve him. So what the Israelites had in Exodus 35 was a stirred up heart to do the things of God. And the task at the end of Exodus was to build the tabernacle. Now this just goes to show how important it is to follow what God commands exactly as he commands it. It might not make sense to us, But when we can step back and see what God was working in the bigger picture, we'd be so grateful that we listened, that we trusted him. Now with the Israelites, when they built the tabernacle, they weren't aware of everything that God was doing. They may have thought they were just building a tent for a place for sacrifices, a place for God's presence to dwell. What we found out later in the scripture, in John 5:39, for instance, is that the Lord Jesus Christ later declares that the scriptures testify of him. See, God was so specific about the tabernacle, about how it was to be built. If you read through Exodus, he does not leave any details out. It goes down to the pins and cords of the tabernacle. And the reason why God was so specific is because that was pointing to Christ. In type, it's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. As I mentioned before, the tabernacle was a rectangular structured tent. And then it had a courtyard with the altar of sacrifice and a laver to wash yourself up in. And then surrounding both the courtyard and the building was a wall. So when an Israelite would approach the tabernacle, the first thing he would see is that there was separation between him and God, blocked out by walls, but yet there was one door to get into the tabernacle. And in order to accept to walk through that one door, the Israelite had to repent of his self-righteousness in order to humble himself, to accept the way that God provided for his sins to be forgiven. Are you starting to see the gospel? And as the Israelite walked through that one door, he was immediately faced with the altar of sacrifice. Immediately faced with the fact that he had sin that needed to be taken care of, that needed to be forgiven on. Sin that could only be forgiven by the way that God provided. Are you starting to see that the gospel? And the sinner cannot have his sins forgiven unless he accepted the one sacrifice that God appointed, and sins that could not be forgiven without the shedding of blood. Are you starting to see the gospel? And after that Israelite was saved, after the blood was shed, after his sins were forgiven, he would then move on to the labor and begin to be washed and cleansed and to live out his life of his sins being forgiven. See, the tabernacle wasn't just for the law, but for the purpose of pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God Jesus Christ, or the Lamb of God Jesus Christ. And what we see is God used the Israelites who were just in sin. He used sinners to do his work. See, that's something that's so great about our God. You know, other religions, it's about being, you know, your nose up. Everybody's got to be perfect. Nobody's done anything wrong. But yet we see the one true God. He'll take that harlot on the street corner. He'll take that drug dealer. He'll take that drug user. He'll take that drunkard. He'll take that liar. He'll take that gambler. He'll take that thief. He'll take that blasphemer. And he'll take them and save their soul. He'll look at them and say, they're sinners. They deserve hell, but I'm going to die. I'm going to suffer on the cross. I'm going to be buried and rise again for their salvation so that they can be saved. They don't deserve it, but I love them. And that's the God we serve. The Bible says, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. See, we might just see the people on the outside, the people on the streets. But Jesus died for us too. We're all sinners. We're all sinners, and yet Jesus looked at us. He looked at us when we were dead in our sins and said, I'm going to die for him or her. I want him or her to serve me. I'm going to take them, wash them in my blood, and change their life. And he'll do that. He'll do that if you're willing to let him. When you follow God's word, when you act in obedience to his word, when you do what his word says and don't change anything or don't add on to, God will bless, and the result will be more than you could ever imagine. So it's important, church, that as we read God's word, that we trust God and listen to what he says, even when it doesn't make sense, even when we can't see what God is doing. Sadly today, we have many churches in this country who have thrown away the things of God and have replaced it with the things of world. They've, instead of focusing on what God has commanded, what he told them to do, begin to look around and said, wait, that seems to be attracting a crowd. That seems to be working over there. Well, why don't we bring it in here? And they've forgotten what God has said. And therefore, tearing down the walls of holiness, becoming friends with the world, and operating the flesh rather than the Spirit. And as a result, there are many Christians around the world today who do not have a stirred up heart. They're attending church today, might feel excited. There might be fast-paced music, flashing lights, a production show. But it's not their heart that's being stirred by God. It's the flesh. And that discernment, that acknowledgement of, hey, this looks nothing how God commanded, is not there, because not only is the worship worldly, but so is the preaching. That's why I appreciate churches like this that still sing those good all hymns. Hymns that are based on Scripture that seem so simple to the flesh. It doesn't have a $50,000 production value. But yet those simple praises to God, just the aspect of pouring your heart out to Him, singing praises to Him based on Scripture, is enough to stir the heart and not your flesh. Now I would infer, this is just an inference, not a prophetic word or anything like that, but I would infer there might be some of you in this room that when we sing those hymns, to you it's no different than reading a legal document. It's just flat. That you don't understand how people around you could be tearing up at times. They could be praising God, thanking God, and having a stirred up heart from singing something that seems so simple to the flesh. But what you're seeing are Christians who are having a stirred up heart for their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who took them out of this world, who took them out of their sins, saved them, washed them, sanctified them, and gave them a new life to live. That's what you're seeing. And if you never had that stirred up heart for the Lord Jesus Christ, you've never had that change in your life, are you saved? See, the truth is, you do not encounter God. You do not get born again by the Spirit of God and do not have that change in your life. Are you saved? Now, if you know that you're saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, but you found yourself with a stagnant heart. You found yourself where your heart's been dimming out for the Lord, hasn't been beating as hard for the Lord. I want to ask, how is your fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ? See, so many Christians today ignore their fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. They've been saved. They are saved. But yet they have no fellowship with Him. Spend no time with the Lord. Spend no time in His Word. Spend no time in praying. And because of such, have no relationship with the Lord. And their hearts have gone cold, are no longer stirred up by the things of God. Keep thy heart with all diligence. So what stirs your heart this morning? Because your heart can be stirred by the wrong thing. A lot of people will have their heart stirred up by what's in this world. So easily get so excited for what's going on that's just going to fade away and pass away. You know, so many people will pour their tears out at the end of a movie where an actor dies so sadly, even though that very actor would spit on your Bible. You'll shed a tear for that. But when you read about the Lord Jesus Christ dying for your sins to save your soul, that He suffered for you because He loved you before you ever even loved Him, your heart doesn't even skip a beat. When you ignore your fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, your heart gets backwards. Your heart ends up getting stirred up for the things that are fake, the things that are carnal, the things of this world, rather than the things that are real, rather than the things that matter for eternity, rather for the things for the person, your Savior. So is that you this morning? Do you find your heart being stirred up by what's out there in the world, what's on your phone, what's on your TV, what's going on down in the city, but never stirred up by the Lord Jesus Christ? If that is you this morning, Christian, I urge you and I plead with you to get your heart settled with the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't run away. Far too often do I sadly see, and has happened in my own life, that when we begin to backslide, when we begin to drift away from the Lord, and He lovingly, we forget that, He lovingly reaches out to us and calls us back in through conviction, through chastisement, that we feel that uncomfortableness, and we fail to recognize that it's God's love, that He wants us to be near to His heart. And far too often do Christians feel that conviction and end up just running away even more, and stop reading their Bible even more, and stop praying and then their life just gets worse and more miserable. I plead with you, if the Lord is moving in your heart, don't run away. He's right there. He's always willing. He's always faithful. He never forsakes. He never gets tired of hearing us confessing our sins. So seek Him. Go to Him. Have that willing heart. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's John 1:9. That's a verse for Christians. And maybe, Christian, you have been having that sweet fellowship with the Lord. You are walking day by day with Him. You do have that fellowship. Take the time to thank Him and praise Him. And tell Him you love Him. And say, Lord, I'm so thankful that I have this communion with You right now. That I'm walking day by day with You and it's so sweet. And pray that You keep your heart with diligence. Because when we walk up high, when we're walking with the Lord, that's when we tend to let our guard down. And tend to stop reading our Bibles or tend to stop praying, and then we backslide. And if you're here this morning, you're not saved, you know that you do not have the Lord Jesus Christ. You know that you have never received Him. You've never trusted Him. You're trapped in your sins. Would you come to the Lord Jesus Christ this morning and receive Him in prayer? Would you be willing to trust the Lord today as the only way of salvation? All have sinned. Everybody in here is a sinner. Either saved or lost. We all deserve to go to hell, but the price has been paid. Our fine has already been taken care of. Will you accept it? The blood of Christ has already been shed. He went to the cross. He died. He was buried. Rose again the third day for your justification so you can be saved. Would you repent of your sin? Repent of trusting yourself. Of trusting in yourself, and today call upon the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. And no matter what position you are in this morning, Christian, pray for a stirred up heart. Let's pray. Father, thank You, Lord, for the message this morning. Thank You, God, that You can stir in our hearts. God, that we need nothing more than just Your word. Oh, God, what a powerful God You are, Lord, that You can stir us up. You can have us shouting praises to You, God, because of Your love alone. God, I pray that You would help all of us here this morning to not be content, to not be dormant with a stagnant heart, Lord, but that we would seek You, that we would desire You. Oh, Lord, that our prayer would be that You could help us to love You more. Please, God, stir in all of our hearts. Give us the courage. Give us the boldness. Give us the wisdom to do what it is You would have us to do, Lord. And I pray, God, that if there's someone in this room here this morning who is not saved, they've come under conviction that they do not have eternal life, God, I pray that they would have the willingness to seek You, Lord, and receive You as their personal Savior. I pray this, Lord, in the glorious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So as we sing our last hymn, I just invite you to take the time, if you need to settle something in your heart between you and God, that you would take the time to pray and get that settled. Confess that sin. Maybe it's not confessing sin, but simply saying for the first time in a long time that you love your Lord. And if you're not saved this morning and you would like someone to pray with you, I'm available. Pastor James is available. Please seek us. If you don't maybe want to pray with anyone, it's as simple as admitting you're a sinner, believing that the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, died, was buried, and rose again for your justification, and to have that heart, that willingness to call upon His name for salvation. Amen.